Good morning, everyone. It is a beautiful, brisk fall Lord's Day morning. A time where we're able to gather together to worship our God together. Not to come here as consumers, but to arrive here as servants of God, to honor Him, to revere His name. We're here for Him today, not for ourselves. We receive benefit from being here. I do realize that, and I appreciate the fact that I get to be with people or who have like precious faith. I get to lift my voice in song with you and be able to praise our God in that way. But it's just it. We're here to praise our God. And I appreciate the fact that you've taken time out of your schedules. If you are visiting with us this morning, you could be other places today, but we're grateful that you're with us this morning. And we're grateful that everybody that is normally here is here as well. Some of you that are experiencing pain in life and physical ailments, it's good to see you here because you're an encouragement to us when you're here, and we hope that we're an encouragement to you as well. So it's a blessing to be here today, isn't it? I want to ask you a question real quick. How many of you remember the story of Chicken Little? That's an odd question to begin a sermon with, do you remember Ducky Lucky and how he was the one that was going around crying, "The sky is falling, the sky is falling"? Well, I've got a question. What do you do when the sky is falling? What do you do when everything around you seems like it's crumbling down? And I'm not saying that that's really what's taking place, but we live in a country that is considered to be the richest country in the world. And we often say that we live in the greatest country in the world, don't we? But we also realize that our country is not perfect. The people that make up the land in which we live are not perfect. For instance, you can immediately start looking around and you can look at the political climate of today, and you can see that we have a newly elected president. He's been in office for 2 years now, but we see one that seems to thrive on being steeped in controversy. We also have political unrest in our country, and just based on that, the division that's taking place in our country, it's real easy to see where some individuals are crying the sky is falling just in our own nation right now. The threat of nuclear attack with North Korea that was pretty evident here a while back, not in just North Korea, all worldwide for that matter. You say, well, our economy is doing well right now, and it probably is, but you think over the last 15, 20 years, it's been pretty volatile, hasn't it? It's been up and down, you never know. Back in the early portion of this century, some of your 401ks were probably 101ks for a while, weren't they? You lost some money in them. The sky was falling, it seemed like, in the economy for a while. Recent natural disasters in North Carolina and up and down the East Coast and the Gulf Coast right now. You could literally say for them that the sky was falling because it was on their properties and everything and the destruction that took place. But then, on top of all those things, you look at the moral decline that's taking place within our nation, because what is our nation really preaching today? You know, used to be you'd hear we're a Christian nation, but now you're hearing we're a nation of tolerance. And really, we're not a nation of tolerance. We're becoming a nation of acceptance when you get right down to it. And our morality is being based upon what is being driven by what's popular in society at the time. Whether it be marriage between man and woman or homosexual marriage. Whether it be adultery or just consensual immorality between a couple. We see things that are taking place, and there are things that we can look at in our lives and we can maybe have some anxiety about it a little bit. And we might even be thinking in terms in our own nation right now, the sky is falling. But I think it's the outlook is different. I think it's a matter of perspective sometimes. I believe that as Christians, being members of the Lord's church, that if we maintain a proper attitude, a proper faith during what may be classified as difficult times, I believe there's one word that rings loud and clear during those difficult times, and that is opportunity. I believe with all that's going on around us, this word keeps popping up in my mind, at least, opportunity. You know, we've heard the sayings that opportunity only knocks twice. Well, I think opportunity knocks more often than that. And it's just recognizing opportunity and being able to understand that as Christians, we have opportunity. And opportunity is knocking again for us. Christians, the Lord's church, we need to start using these times as opportunities. And I want to present a few things to you this morning that talks about those types of opportunities that we have. And we begin with ourselves. I want you to begin looking inwardly. And that's where we have to begin. We have to start with ourselves. Before we can ever start looking outwardly, we have to start with ourselves as individuals and then ourselves as a group and a body of Christ. And we think about that. It's opportunity to grow spiritually. Yes, even with the storms that life throws at us, there's that opportunity to grow stronger in our faith. Individually, we can take that time and draw closer to God. You think about how we're supposed to do that, and you think about Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, where you draw nearer to God, and He will draw nearer to you. Yes, there are things that are going on in our nation that likely may affect some people's faiths. Mark Twain said it this way. He said this, reflection is the beginning of reform. And as we start looking at ourselves and we start looking inward at ourselves, life's uncertainties force us to contemplate the meaning of life. It forces us to contemplate the length of our lives. But it affords us time to spend time in prayer. We may not know what will happen tomorrow. We don't know what our life is. It's like a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. But we don't have to live in fear. We as children of God can live in faith. Cindy and I have had this discussion here recently about an individual that doesn't have faith in God. And when bad things happen to them, they don't have that hope to hang on to that they have in God. And it's true, it can happen even to Christians. And we end up thinking about this, do I live in fear? Well, for me, I'd have to say absolutely not. For you, you'd have to be able to, because of your faith, say the same thing. Do I live in fear? Paul developed this attitude, if God is for us, who can be against us? In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. And we need to use these times as an opportunity then to grow spiritually in full assurance of our faith. We need to spend more time diligently in prayer and asking God for the daily necessities of life, but not only those, but for that spiritual strength, that guidance, that wisdom that we should be praying for. You know, James chapter 1, when he said pray for wisdom, that God was going to be the one that would grant that wisdom to us. How do we have to ask for that? Turn over to James chapter 1. This is just a reminder because this is something that was brought out this past week in our gospel meeting. And I'm just throwing this back out there at you just to remind you, if any of you lacks wisdom, James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask how? In faith. With no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. See, our faith should be such that when we go to our God in prayer, we trust He's going to answer it. We trust Him enough that we know that He's listening. If we pray to Him and we give us this day our daily bread, if we're talking about those types of things and necessities of life, but we need to be asking Him for things like this, to increase our longing for the pure milk of the Word that Peter describes in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. That we might grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as he talks about in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. That when we think about those types of things, that we're asking for wisdom, where we're asking for strengthening to God to strengthen our faith, then we're doing those things in such a way that we trust that it's going to happen in our lives. Can I be a stronger Christian tomorrow than I am today? Yes. But I have to pursue that. I have to be walking in that direction in order for that to take place. I have to meditate on certain things, God's Word. When you went back to Psalm 119 and it was read to you earlier, I just want to look at a few of the verses there, but I think you think about verses 34 and 35 in that text that was read. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Here's the part there that stands out to me. When he says, I will observe it with my whole heart, that describes a person that has grabbed hold of it, he had been in pursuit of it, has grabbed hold of it, he's going to keep it now, and he wants to integrate it into his life so much that make me walk in the path of your commandments. What does it do? For I delight in it. Drop down to about verse 45. And you look at verses 45 through 47. And I will walk at liberty. Here's the thing about God's precepts, God's commandments. When we think about it, and you think about it in New Testament terms, in James chapter 1, we're told that it is the perfect law of liberty. The writer here says, I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. You know, there are other passages of Scripture that you can look at. Acts chapter 17 and verse 10. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. Study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed. What, for what purpose? So that you can rightly divide the word of truth. But you have to spend time in it. See, yes, we can improve our lives as children of God. Individually, we can spend more time meditating upon God's Word. And you think about it, so can the church. The church can look to God's Word once and again. And what it can do, it can purge itself of sin and false teaching. A church can repent and become God intended for it to be. Think about that for just a minute. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. You also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house. That's what we're supposed to be, a spiritual house. And I'm afraid that as I look around the nation today, and I'm not the only one that feels this way. I've mentioned to you some of of this book that I've been reading about this man who is changing his view of what the church looks like. One of the questions that he asked, and keep in mind now, we're being built up as a spiritual house. He asks a question. If God had His way, what would the church look like? That's the wrong question to ask. Because God already has His way. We should be asking ourselves, as the church, what does God want us to look like? And in the world today, what do we see that is most prevalent? I mentioned at the beginning of this that we enter into this service as servants, not as consumers. But what you see is commercialism, consumerism that has invaded the church, or churches, religion in general. People come in and ask, what have you got for me? What type of program have you got for my kids? And they want to be entertained. And instead of coming in with a servant attitude and saying, my God, how can I serve you and how can I honor you and how can I praise you? They want to know what's in it for me. From that standpoint, I see the sky falling a little bit. But for us, as we look inward, we want to make sure that we are following the pattern that God has prescribed. That we look like what God expects us to look like, and not what the world expects from us. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And see, it's an opportunity for us then, as we grow and look inwardly at ourselves, then it allows us to start looking outwardly. It provides us opportunity to begin spreading that gospel, being sowers of the seed. I believe our nation has become spoiled because we have sought out the American dream and not our Creator. We've concentrated more on the material things of life and not developing true spirituality. And I think because of this type of attitude in our nation, God is slowly being eliminated from public life. Our young people are being taught that God and His Word are insignificant and no longer have a place in our society. When you hear presidential candidates talking about things like abortion and telling the church that they need to change their attitudes toward it, then that's how you know the sky is falling a little bit. But when the sky appears to be crashing down on top of us, we need to realize that our lives are not meaningless, that the lives of those in the world who are living as part of the world, their lives are not meaningless, that meaning can be a very important part of their life. It doesn't have to be hollow. It can be filled with purpose. It can be filled with God's purpose. And we can provide them something in which they can turn to. I want you to think of the prodigal son for just a moment. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. We can pray that this happens for some individuals, or we can also help individuals realize that this needs to happen. We can spend time reaching out and teaching and Bible study with other people. And those are the types of things we need to be doing. But think of the prodigal son. This was one who was part of the house and left. We need to encourage them just as much as we do the ones who have never obeyed the gospel. And what you need to see is that there comes a time, especially when you look at verses 16 and 17, that men in the world today can only go so far by themselves, and then they hit that wall and they find themselves with no place to look but up because they're down so low. And you look beginning at verse 16 and look at the prodigal son and look at what he would have done. He would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This is just it. This was a man who looks like he was without hope. He's lost everything that had been given to him. He's wasted it on prodigal living. And now he's just would be grateful for just a handout, but nobody's helping him. But verse 17 says, but when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? See, what I see in society today is we look at ourselves as the individual that can save ourselves. But there's a realization that comes along that no, we can't. And we need to start looking toward God. And the prodigal son said, I can go home. Even if I just go home as a servant, one of my father's servants, that would be perfectly fine. We know the outcome of this particular story in Luke. It wasn't just that he would go home as a servant. He was welcomed back because he was repenting. He came back to the Father. When it says he came to his senses, I think he'd been kicked while he was down long enough. And he finally said, I hope it's not too late. And he went home to discover it wasn't too late. It's not too late for our nation. It's not too late for Christians who have fallen away from God. It's not too late for those who have never heard the Word of God. Because we have an ability and should be using it to feed hungry souls with the gospel of Christ. It is the church's responsibility. It is the individual's responsibility to do this very thing. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 10, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in heavenly places. It is our responsibility to take this word. And think about it. Jesus described himself as the bread of life. He is that spiritual manna that has come down from heaven. You see that in John chapter 6. And we need to be sharing that spiritual food with the lost. What we need to do then is preach that pure, unadulterated Word of God, which has the power to save souls. Romans chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. It is the power of God unto salvation. I think about what Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. But God be thanked that though you were slaves, or Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Think about this. The church at Rome was very, the people in Rome were very worldly people. And now you have the gospel going to them, and Paul's letting them know that they've been slaves to something in the past, but now what happens to them? If you go on, you find out they have become slaves to righteousness. But it was through that power of the gospel that he spoke of in chapter 1 that enabled them to get to that point. It was that point where they learned that they needed to be buried in baptism so that they could rise to walk in newness of life, and that they didn't have to be slaves to what the world taught, but to something greater, to something better, a better hope, an eternal hope. And it's the Scriptures that make us wise unto salvation. And that's why we share it with people. And not only help them spiritually, but then we can reach out and help them otherwise. You know, somewhere in the future we may find some of our brethren who are truly in need materially. What an opportunity to reach out to them if they're not strong in the faith. What an opportunity to reach out to even some others that may not have any faith at all. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, makes a statement right there. It involves two classes of people that the individual can work with. And I believe that what Paul is talking about right here is individual responsibility. What you and I can do, because we see the opportunities and we need to be taking advantage of those opportunities. And again, that word opportunity is what pops up in this verse. Verse 10. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. I believe Paul is making an inference to Brian Lockmiller here in that I have an opportunity, if I have opportunity, an opportunity has to be met with the ability to meet the opportunity. I understand that too. But as individuals, we need to be taking advantage of those. Sometimes that might open doors to those who are outside of the Lord's body to be able to teach them. And then to make sure that we are constantly aware when Paul says, especially to those who are the household of faith. To be constantly aware of those of our number who are in need. And let me suggest this. I believe this works two ways. Not just monetarily, but spiritually. Do good unto all men. You can do that with God's word. That's taking the word to them as well. It's not just the physical help that they need. The same way, because you go back to verse 1, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also are tempted. It's all part of the same context. We can see that with those who are struggling spiritually, that we can help that way as well. And it works both ways. Opportunity, then, provides an opening of our hearts and possibly the opening of somebody else's hearts. So, the Scriptures, I believe, provide much support for this. Luke chapter 6, verse 38, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use it, it will be measured back to you. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He who has pity on the poor lends to the Lord, and he will pay back what he has given. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 42. And whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. We just need to pay attention. You know, over in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus makes mention there in that scene of judgment of those people that took care of him when he was naked and without clothing, hungry and not fed while he was in prison. And he makes comment about it when they ask him, when did we see you like this? He said, when you did it to one of my children, that's when it takes place. See, opportunity. Sky's not really falling, but opportunity's always there. Opportunity is something that we need to be mindful of. And so, brethren, let us use the opportunities the Lord gives us. And let me suggest this. Don't wait for the opportunities to just fall in your lap. Look for them. Look for opportunities. You know, if we're supposed to pursue God's Word and we're supposed to seek it, then maybe we ought to be seeking opportunities to share that Word with other people instead of just waiting. Here's the problem, again, with the consumerism that has invaded the religious world. It is a mentality of build it and they will come. Jesus never said that. Jesus said, teach it and they will come. He offered the invitation, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. What are we supposed to do? We teach that invitation to get people to come. See, life is too short, and eternity will be too long to do really otherwise. And I want you to keep in mind, it's not too late. It's not too late for someone to realize that they need their Heavenly Father. It's not too late for someone to come to the realization, just like the prodigal son did, that it's better to be in God's family than it is to be part of the world's family. That opportunity is yours. See, opportunity again this morning is now yours to respond to Jesus' invitation, to be obedient to the Lord right now. And all you have to do is make up your mind like the prodigal son did, or be like the Ethiopian eunuch who had been preached Christ from the book of Isaiah. And Philip, and he came to water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Opportunity to show your faith to God. Opportunity to begin living as a new creature in Christ. Opportunity to be faithful till you die. If only you will take the opportunity now to respond. Can we help you in your soul's salvation this morning? Will you heed God's words and obey the gospel this very day? Won't you come? As together we stand and as we sing.